This is Talk To Me. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
our new life begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me, episode 268. The guest this week is Joe Catella of Dead. It is the return of Joe Catella of Dead. As you know, he was on my Louder Than Life, I believe, 2017 episodes, and it was good to catch up with him. It was good to see him. If you head over to my YouTube page, you can see this video in its entirety, the interview that is over on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and comment over there, and let me know that you're checking it out on YouTube also. You can see my handsome face over on the YouTube. Joe is on the podcast this week to talk about their new album, to talk about the song Parasite, to discuss working with Kevin Churko, the touring plans they had this year. So much was going to go on for Dead this year. And Dead is one of the bands that definitely missed out on so much this year due to the pandemic. They had a great tour lined up with In This Moment and Black Veil Brides. That would have been huge for the band. And the new stuff sounds great, which we will check out Parasite coming right up. But like I said, it's always good to talk to Joe. This was one of those interviews where the interview was like 30 minutes. The post-interview was like 35 minutes. And it was just good to catch up with them. Good to catch up with Joe, and what a good dude, and support what they are doing over there at the band Dead. And speaking of support, let's hear from Scott Bowling.
Hey guys, my name's Scott Bowling. I have a YouTube show called Good Company with Bowling.
What's up? This is Clint Lowry from Seven Dust.
Hey, what's up? This is Sonny Mayo.
Hey, Ricky Rackman.
And you're watching Good Company with Scott Bowling.
I've interviewed bands like Limp Bizkit, Fozzy, Seven Dust, Korn. I've had Chris Farley's brother, Tom Farley, on the show. My show is kind of like a modern day Wayne's World. If you love a good interview, a good rock interview, or just any kind of interview, please, if you get a chance, check out my show, Good Company with Bowling.
Please head over to Good Company with Bowling. Let him know that you heard about him on the Talk To Me podcast. That will be much appreciated. So much good stuff going on over there with Scott Bowling and crew. So I continue to talk about a new project coming up, and I've yet to let anybody really know what's going on. A few people out there know, but I have a couple of interviews in the bank, and I do believe that I will be releasing my new sidecast next week. Do I tell you the name right now? Do I do it? No, I will tell you after the interview with Joe. I will tell you a little bit more about the new podcast that I will be releasing soon. So with that said, let's check out the new single from Dead. Talk to Joe Catella, check out some classic Dead, and then I will talk to you guys momentarily.
Which was mine, it was mine, his, mine would define, so tonight we die. Release the hounds, no one said for you how, will you ever get it back? Destiny, how far bound? Steal the country now. You're just a ghost of what you used to be. It's gotta be.
What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine.
All right, guys, let's welcome Joe Cotello from Dead onto the program. How you doing, man?
Doing good, brother. Doing good.
Doing good. Where are you at in the world?
I'm up in New York.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are we still working on the record? Where are we at with this, man? You've been leaving a nice steady stream of music this year, so.
Yeah, we have. No, yeah, the album's done. And, you know, it was supposed to, we didn't really have an exact plan for when it was going to be released, but you know, it's done. And, it was supposed to be released, I imagine, by now, you know, but
right.
You know, the first, single, A Mannequin Idol, came out around like March. So like middle of March, right when everything happened. So, you know, we had to like really refigure everything. We're still trying to figure it out now. So we're just kind of releasing stuff as it goes for the time being, you know?
Yeah, 2020 would have been a big year for you. I mean, you got the big monster tour with Black Veil Brides in this moment, you know, about to happen. And then it was, you know, everything was on track to be a big year for you guys. And it's kind of just sidetracked with the, you know, with all the shutdown.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I guess I would look at it like that, too. It would, you know, it's exciting because the first album cycle went better than we could have imagined, you know, when we're doing it. And it was such an awesome time. And then we stayed busy touring and recording the album to keep that momentum going because it had been almost 3 years. It's been 3 years since the first album in July. So we really tried to keep that momentum and like touring and then go do the album and then go back on tour. You know, we were just flying back and forth from both for like the whole last year. And then, you know, and then all that work to keep that momentum going. And then, you know, and, you know, so it was frustrating, you know, just like it is for everybody else, you know what I mean?
Right. What's the, do you know the plan right now? You know, are we just going to kind of continue releasing singles here and there? When is the album coming out? What are we looking at?
Yeah. So, I don't have like a definitive thing for the album coming out, but yeah, we're releasing music. We just released a new song called Parasite like last week, I think it was.
Yes.
You never know what day it is anymore. But, And then we got some more stuff coming out. We just shot a music video for a new song. So another more music. So we're just going to kind of keep putting it out, I think. And I believe this will be the last song that we're going to put out as like a single. And then the album should come out after that. So, but I don't have dates and I haven't say yet. And, you know, it's like me trying to do it. We know we're not like an independent band. We have a label, management, all that stuff. And so like, there's a lot of people that have a lot invested and all that kind of stuff. So you got to work with everybody and, you know, that kind of thing. So just trying to do our best working with everybody and, you know, get, you know, have the team all on the same page, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, kind of looking into this album, obviously done with Kevin Cherko. You know, what did you take away working with him as opposed to obviously the debut was John Feldman, obviously two monster producers, but you know, for the career so far, you know, what was it like? I hate asking what was it like questions, but what was it like working with Kevin as maybe opposed to John?
Yeah. So I would say two totally different, aside from both being, you know, great guys, you know, like awesome human beings and such talented guys that have put out music that I have listened to and enjoyed for years. You know, I would say just different vibes as far as people go. Like John is a bit more intense and in the moment and drinks coffee like every hour. You know what I mean? Very intense, you know, a little bit more on the pop punk rock type side of things, but has roots in like hardcore and new metal and things like that. And then Kevin is a little more laid back, like Canadian guy, a little more chill, but like super genius with like music theory and like, you know, listens to like what is it, like bossa nova music and stuff. And like, so like a little bit more like mad scientist-y, you know, and like a little bit more laid back. But like I said, both like masters of what they do, you know what I mean? And both like watching them work and listening to them. And like, I always think like, cause I've worked with a handful of different people with doing albums and things. And I always just try to like, you know, you pick up little pieces, I call them little weapons, and I add them to my arsenal, stuff that they might teach me with different things. And John, I think, likes to capture the moment a little bit more and like seize the day and like get something done. And I think with Kevin, we're a little bit more thought out and a little bit more like, you know, it could be spanned out over like a week or two. And, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So there's just different things. I think there's strengths in both things, you know? So, yeah.
I was listening to a podcast recently, the band Story of the Year are now releasing podcasts of the four of them talking about their kind of their history. And they did a big episode about working on the first album with John Feldmann. And basically he would make them go back to the drawing board a lot and be like, I need a better chorus. I need a better chorus. Was that the kind of the takeaway from him?
Yeah. I mean, in ways, you know,
push you to be better, I guess is where we're at.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100% push to be better. I mean, I do the same thing. That's the thing. Is if somebody challenges me to beat my chorus, then I'm like, oh, okay. Chorus, you know what I mean? And I feel like I usually know when I have something good or not, you know, like if it's like, okay, I'll know. When someone says, ah, it's all right, I'll be like, I know it's all right. You know, when I feel like I have something good, usually it's pretty like unanimous in the room, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, at least for like, you know, us that are working on the music. So, but I feel like I did that almost a bit with some of that stuff too. Like, you know, it's important to me and I can be a little bit more like over, you know, analytical about parts and be like, yo, is that the best thing that I can put there? You know what I mean? Because you're working on music and it's going to come out and you're going to tour on it for like 2 years or whatever. You know, you don't want it to be, you know, you don't want anything to be like phoned in or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So, but I think both of them definitely pushed me and the guys for sure.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to get out there. It's like, does this suck? I think this sucks.
Yeah. Like my worst nightmare is to be stuck playing music I don't enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll just throw it out and like, let's just play covers for the whole set, you know, if I had to, you know, but that wouldn't happen.
You know, but. You know, it's funny. I was looking at the timeline of the band and it seems like you guys have been around a little bit longer than, you know, the debut album was 2017. So it's only 3 years, but the rise of the band and the last 3 years have to be almost kind of like a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like you know, we've all been in bands before, yeah. You know, different bands and I was kind of at the moment of like kind of quitting music because I was just kind of sick of the industry and just sick of like, you know, I got to that point where like I felt like I started writing songs to like, you know, appease other people more than myself and that kind of thing, you know, like you get frustrated in that mid 20 area, you know what I mean? Like trying to be real and then you're like, "Oh, man," you know, so I was kind of quitting and then we just did Dead for Fun. We were just like, let's just be real heavy and real violent. And the early stuff was real heavy and violent. We just wanted to play like, you know, no big grandiose ideas. Just like, I just want to play at this shitty punk bar and like, let's just be heavy on Saturday nights. That was kind of like the idea, which is the coolest thing because every band I've ever been in, there's always been the thought of like, oh, we want to, you know, we want to do this and we want to do that, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, it was interesting because we did it just for fun. We kept it all really under wraps. We didn't really talk about it with anybody, but we'd play like, you know, shows around and we were already, you know, established in the scene as from different bands. So we got to open up some cool shows, you know, got to play with like Upon a Burning Body early on and like Acacia Strain and Beartooth and Every Time I Die, some cool shows and stuff. So, uh-huh. And then, you know, we did our EP. It was with Matt Good, was actually, he's from First to Last and Drugs and stuff. And he
Drugs is an amazing band, by the way, but go ahead.
It really, no, it was so good. Great album. Mm-hmm. And so he had moved out into Arizona. And so him and David and I had started the band and Matt just kind of had to step down cause he was getting way more into production. He's done like, you know, Afton Alexandria's new album, mm-hmm. and The Word Alive and Hollywood Undead and a bunch of cool stuff. So anyway, I think I'm making this too long.
But no, you're good.
We ended up, you know, recording it all. And, you know, it just got to people real quick. We sent it to just some friends kind of for fun. And it got out real quick. And, you know, like I said, we've been in other bands before. So this was the fastest that ever happened, you know, for sure, without a doubt. And it was. And then once that happened and we got involved with everybody, you know, like John Feldmann and got involved, like Benji and Joel Madden managed us for a couple of years from Good Charlotte. And, yeah. We got in touch with our manager now, Jordan Schur, and our label as well. And, you know, it was a whirlwind, you know, going out to LA, hanging out with all these people, meeting everybody we've always wanted to meet our whole lives, all that, all of a sudden, you know, you're in the room with everybody, all your heroes and stuff, and going on tour with all of them. And it was wild, but it was cool. It was like kind of cool to have been in other bands before. So when we did it this time, we felt like, not that we like deserve to be there, because I don't like the word deserve, but like, you know, we felt like a little bit more comfortable in our shoes to be like, yeah, we're here, we're cool, you know, it's all right.
paid your dues type stuff.
You know, so paid something like that. Yeah. You know,
kind of growing up in bands and playing in bands and just getting to kind of where you see the business the way it is now, you know, with management, with a record label. Obviously, you know, we got this interview through Publicist and, you know, kind of seeing it now. Do you think your early bands were really far away or maybe like just a couple of phone calls away? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, no, I feel that. looking back, yeah, I think some of it was pretty strong, you know, in comparison to other things that, you know, but that's the thing is just like your art, you know, you make something, that you like. I compare it to a meal sometimes, like you put the ingredients in that tastes good to you and that music tastes good to you. So, you know, I do think that it could be anybody, you know, like it could be like the right person hears you, the right person sees you. But then I also think you need to make your own luck. You need to be strong. When you get to a certain point and that opportunity knocks, you have to be ready for it. So that whole preparation thing, you got to jump through hoops once it starts happening. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you know that from different occasions, right?
Yeah, it's definitely great. And that's funny. You talking about, you know, you put the music out there and it kind of spread like wildfire. I think that's the best way for something like that to happen, you know, because obviously you give it to a couple of friends, their friends hear it, you know, that whole word of mouth and it gets around rather than, you know, you just banging on the doors, hoping someone listens to it. You know, that word of mouth, that cosign, I think goes a long way with pretty much anything. Cause if you throw out like, what podcast are you listening to right now? All the hosts of the podcast are going to put their podcast up. You're like, no, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, what are you listening to that is not your own? And, you know, it's kind of the same thing what you're talking about, the music there with everybody, with your friends, passing it on to friends, and it spreads like that. More natural, more organic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was cool how that happened. You know, we just made our videos by ourselves on our iPhones and shit. Like, you know, super, like, DIY, really. And because it was just fun. Like I was saying, we weren't trying to do anything. We're just like, let's make some shit. This is fun, you know? And it felt really inspiring, you know, especially in the beginning. It felt really inspiring and it's awesome that it still feels that way. So,
yeah. I mean, every time you know, I know you're not dropping names to drop names, but every time you open your mouth about who you're working with and whatnot, I mean, it's like A-list people, you know, even like early videos with Fred Durst and, you know, going on to Jordan Schur. I mean, that's a huge name in the business too. And it just seems like if you want to, you could reach out and ask lots of people, lots of questions about, you know, the career and, you know, I'm sure like most of us, you know, you're like, well, what should I do next? You know, you kind of have a lot of people you could fall back on and say, you know, what should our next move be? Or are we headed in the right direction type stuff?
Yeah, no, that's I would say that's for sure. There are a lot of great people around us and, you know, I try to be that type of person. So I try to be the energy that I want to attract. You know what I mean? So I try to be a good dude, and then hopefully that good stuff comes back to me. You know, it's life. You know,
nice. So yeah,
it's amazing to have like been guided by people like the you know, some of those people that I've talked about. And there's a lot more, you know, aside from that too. So yeah, I feel very lucky. You know.
What's like, you know, one of the first big things that happened to Dead, you know, that was say a tour or, you know, just even hearing your song on the radio, you know, like that, not in drive time, not the local Sunday night hour, you know, what's kind of the first stuff you look back to with Dead?
Man, there was so much. I mean, just you talking about hearing the song. I remember hearing it when we were driving out to like finish up the album. Our first like song that went to radio was called Anti Everything. And I remember we were driving out to LA to meet up with Feldman to work on the last couple songs for the album, but that the single had already come out to radio. And, yeah, I just remember us driving, you know, hearing it on Octane, and it just sounded so heavy and stuff at the time. And we were just excited. I mean, I remember that, but you know, I had been in bands with songs on the radio before. So I kind of already had that, like, what's that movie? That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah.
On the street, like, you know, wilding out. You know, we didn't quite have that amazing of a moment, but something like that, you know. I always think of that movie. But, you know, I think just honestly having the respect and having, like, you know, people that we look up to, you know, appreciate our music. You know, one of the things about John Feldman is, like, my first concert I ever went to was like a festival with Goldfinger to see them play. And that was like my concert when I was like 12. And then to have him find my band, you know, however many years later, you know, and respect me and like work with me, like that's a really serendipitous type thing. It's really cool. And like, you know, just doing all the tours and, I don't know, there's so many things, you know, and it's awesome. It's hard to like pinpoint one or two things, but just hanging out and just living that life, I guess, is just awesome, you know?
Can we talk about that thing you do and how just great of a movie that is, especially if you're into bands, you know, there's so many moments in that movie. If you've ever been in a band, you've had all those things happen to you. You know, of the four members of the band, you know, which one do you maybe align yourself with the most? Would it be kind of the asshole lead singer, living free guitar player, you know, the too cool for school drummer? Where are you at?
Right. Man, I'm trying to think, because I am the singer and there's that terrible whatever that goes with that. I'm definitely not that guy. I don't know. I'd like to think I'm kind of like, I felt like most, closest to the drummer, I guess I would say, probably for whatever reason. He seemed like the most level headed and just kind of like, you know, serious when he had to be, but then he was real chill and like understanding. I like to think that I'm balanced like that. I don't know.
I always love the scene where they go into the RV or the camper on the back of the truck, and the guitar player is just like, we are signing this deal. This guy's a nice camper. We're signing. You're signing. Like, I just know that would have totally been me, you know, like we're signing this record deal, you know, no matter what it was.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's kind of the goofier dude, right?
Yeah.
He's awesome, man. He was in that Nature movie too. That was so funny. I can't think of the name of that, but you're right. Like, it's so funny, like the way they did that movie, and they did such a good job. You know, like kind of like just watching the steps of things, and like, even though it's a movie and it's kind of silly and fun, like they really did do a good job of like people having to live with each other and like the way that life affects them, you know, while touring and all that kind of stuff. And so they, you know, there was some great truth to it. I think that's part of the reason it's great.
Yeah. Not a lot of movies get all of that right. And the other thing I liked about the movie was, I know this is that thing you do podcast, but the other thing is they actually practiced that song over and over and actually learned how to play it. So when they go to scenes of them playing it, they're not just like hitting whatever on the guitar, acting like they're playing it.
Yeah. And especially because when you have musicians watching a movie, we're the first ones to watch it. It takes you right out of the movie.
Yeah.
Anything close to it, you know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're just like huge eye roll. You're like, all right, yeah, this is over with, man.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, with the industry kind of on pause, you know, are you guys gonna do any live stream type stuff? Are you gonna try to do the whole live stream concert? Any of that stuff?
Yeah, we've been talking about it. We're all a little spaced out right now. We just did a live Octane. They had like a big festival thing, Invasion, over the weekend. We just did that, which was awesome. We did like some like reimaginings of some of the songs, and then we did like a Nirvana cover on there. And then, you know, I've been just doing like acoustic stuff, like on like radio, you know, radio interviews and things like that. But like, we just don't want to, you know, put together anything that's not going to be, you know, worthwhile and like really like awesome, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if that presents itself to where we can do that, then we will. But we don't want to just force anything, you know, for the sake of doing it, just to put something out. You know, that's not really our vibe. So if we figure out like a good way to do it, we will, you know, but like no rush right now for us.
Where did the progression of kind of your visuals come from? Obviously, you know, the first album, you know, you're doing the contacts with the pupils or whatnot. But then I think you've kind of evolved into, you know, you're wearing a little bit more stage makeup type stuff, you know, making yourself up a little bit, making it a little bit cooler. You know, where did you maybe find the inspiration for that side of the equation?
Yeah. Well, the contact thing, like, it was just like, I always like in the past, like, we just did the contact thing for fun. Like the first probably like 15 or 20 shows, we did the contacts and we wore like black straight jackets. I had never really done any sort of like aesthetic thing with any band I'd ever been in. It was always like, that was always like cheesy to me for some reason. Like, it was always like, you know, we got to keep it punk rock.
Right.
metal, you know, like we can't, or not metal, because it is more metal to dress up, but, you know, like punk rock or whatever, you know, or like whatever. And it was always like, nah, we don't dress up, you know, none of that fucking, you know, choreographed shit or whatever you call it. But once I did it and I still, you know, we all put the context in, we looked at each other around the room. And that was pretty much me, I would say, dreaming that kind of stuff up. We looked like the dudes looked weird and looked different, and they kind of made me feel uncomfortable. And that was really a lot of the reason in the beginning of day was to make people feel something, feel uncomfortable, whether it was like, you know, like a movie that's scary or it makes you feel like shit or whatever is good, you know, because it made you feel something, whether it makes you feel happy or bad or whatever. So, you know, like we thought shutting off the eyes was like a real big thing, because that's like such a tell for people. You know what I mean? Like to not be able, it's like people like say like it's almost like you're wearing a mask because like you can't. Like the eyes are so important. It's like such a, like, it's like what I'm looking at with you for the last, you know, half hour, you know what I mean? And so to take that away was just like, it felt cool. It felt weird. And it felt like it was going to, build upon the way the music was sounding, at least on the first album, you know? And then as we went through that, you know, we just felt like it was time to change and just started dreaming up things. And it kind of was like an organic thing. Some of the dudes started trying some stuff on their own. Like Kyle would like, you know, do whatever. And then it just kind of, it grew into where it is now. And I think that'll always change. You know, I don't want to be kind of stuck in a box of like doing the same exact thing. You know, like you look at a lot of bands that did, like David Bowie, he changed every album, or, you know, Slipknot, they even changed their masks, you know, whoever it is that dresses up. So I think it's part of the fun, you know, for one. And I think it's, you know, it's cool, to really be an extra extension of the music and the art, that kind of thing. So, you know, yeah, we'll always change it. It'll always be evolving.
You know, the one thing with the mask thing, obviously I had doing the mask mandate. I've realized I smile at people a lot, but like if I'm at the grocery and I'm, you know, you're about to bump carts or something, you know, you give them a little smile and like a little nod and hesitation that, you know, you're like, oh, sorry, didn't mean to do that. But now you just like a crazy person because you're just staring at them like you almost ran into me, but I swear I'm smiling under this mask.
Yeah. I saw a mask that said I'm smiling under my mask and I almost got that one. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like, you know, I guess with the mask, all we can see is our eyes.
Right.
I guess it's almost as pointless. You know what I mean? Like you kind of need a little bit of both really to really like, you know, eye one. So, but yeah, I bought one from my buddy Brandon from Atreyu. He had one that says, have a beautiful day. I wear that around, you know, because people see you walking around I love walking around the grocery store, and it's not as crazy as it used to be, but you know, you got all your tattoos and stuff. You look like you're mean, your beard's popping out, but you know, I want people to see like, yo, I'm a chill dude. You know, I like representing for the weirdos and being super nice to people, you know, and being like, oh, all right. Everybody can be nice. You know, like that's a big thing for me.
So is this the first time you've grown a beard? Because your beard is pretty well amazing, and it kind of came out of nowhere, and it's a little bit trimmed down now, but there for a little bit, it was pretty big. It was in the notes to ask you about your beard. You know, did you know you could grow a beard your whole life, or was this something you like just started growing?
Yeah, I chilled it out recently. I never knew, you know, I had grown like a beard, like a little bit of a beard, probably in like, you know, like the mid 2000s time or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool, I can grow a beard. But then really, I think just kind of being on tour and like, I don't really see my face all the time, and you're kind of back of time and whatnot. I think that was where it just really kept going.
Yeah.
And then once it was like there, dude, it was definitely gnarly for a while. And then now that I'm home and stuff, I don't know. I just like, it's like, you always want to change things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you get a haircut, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You're like, I'd like to see I got a face, you know, like I got a little bit of a neck and stuff. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's nice to switch it up. I might grow it out again. I don't know. I might just shave it all off too. I mean, it's just really just like I'm saying, like, I don't want to be in any sort of like box, like, oh, I got to keep my beard because it's part of my thing now. You know, that's not really it, you know? So, but yeah, it was awesome to see how gnarly it could get. And you know, you only live one time. You might as well see how big your beard can get. You know
what I mean? There you go. Yeah, yeah. This is the only time I've ever tried to grow one out since the quarantine. I trimmed it down. But I said after coming out of quarantine, I wanted to look like, you know, a Great Southern Trendkill Phil Anselmo, you know, just nasty and hair. And it just, you know, that was what I was going for. The hair's getting longer. So I'm digging it.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. How long? That's the longest you've ever gone with your beard right now?
I mean, it was longer. I trimmed it down. But yeah, I've always been like goatee guy. So now I'm growing, you know, it's not too bad. You know, it's definitely no Joe, but it's no Joe beard, but.
No, solid beer, though. Absolutely.
Word. Well, you know, as we kind of just wrap this up, you know, I mean, we've talked about, you know, new songs coming out, kind of a steady stream of new music, man. It sounds killer, you know, and you're definitely, you know, putting out great tracks and just getting everything out. So just, you know, any last words for everybody just to be on the lookout for anything or anything like that?
Yeah. A new single, Parasite, is out right now. There's like, it's, you know, solid streaming and all that kind of stuff. And we got more music coming out, you know, like if I could, I would put the whole album up right now, but you know, we gotta figure it out and do it the right way. So, another new single coming out soon with a video, and you know, like the touring and stuff with, Blackville in the moment, they have it rescheduled. We just got to see if we can stick to that schedule. And so again, I can't announce anything for that, like legally or whatever. You know, I just hope everybody's taking care of themselves, you know, and trying to be cool and, you know, wear that fucking mask and like try not to get in yourself sick and anybody else sick and you know, all that. Like, it's about the greater good right now. It's about, you know, it's about everybody respecting each other, and just want to like reiterate that to everybody and you know, keep your mind right. So that's it.
Yeah. if the mask works, if they don't work, just put a mask on. Like, just stop trying to be that guy that's at the store trying to be too cool for school with their mask on their head, you know. Just put it on.
We're not in like middle school anymore where it's like cool to be rebelling against whatever. It's like, yeah, just, yeah. People are dying. So, yeah.
All right, man. Well, take care. Have a good rest of your day, and always good talking with you, man.
Thank you. You too, brother. Good luck.
Revel in this, resist, maybe you'll get to just venomous. Standing in line is the way that you go. I will survive on the path that I chose. Sever the ties from the blind and all those ignorant bastards I am in control. You won't take me alive. I'd rather die than live in this prison. I am anti everything. Done being kind, I draw the line. No, I will not give in. I am anti everything. I am obsessed with it, blessed with it, leave a mark. Show me a battle scar, ripping the rules apart. I am a war! Give me a stone and I'll cast the first blow. Cover me up in the truth that I know. Doing it now when you said that I won't. Hungry and harder in all of my own. You won't take me alive. I'd rather die than live in this prison. I am anti-everything. Done being kind, I draw the line. No, I will not give in.
Thank you to Joe Catella for taking the time. It is always great to catch up with the dudes and dead. Make sure to support them in everything that they do. And speaking of support, let's talk about my new project. So I have a new sidecast entitled Drag the Waters. It's going to be the Pantera podcast, all Pantera, all the time. And you ask yourself, what does this have to do that's different than Talk to Me? Not a lot. But it's going to be focused on the members of Pantera, interviewing past members, interviewing people in the Pantera camp, interviewing people that wrote books about Pantera. It's going to be all Pantera all the time, entitled Drag the Waters. A couple of interviews already done and ready to go. So I'm going to attempt to release Drag the Waters, the Pantera podcast, next week. I will probably throw an old Talk to Me with either Rita or Bobby Tongs up to just kind of hold the name. You guys can get subscribed to it, start reviewing it, get all that stuff going. And then once the new episodes start posting, you guys will get those directly to your phones. So starting Monday, search your podcast apps for Drag the Waters, and it will come up as Drag the Waters, the Pantera podcast, as hosted by myself, and a couple of great interviews coming up, and I will let you know about that ASAP. But until then, for the Talk to Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon. All right, we're sitting here at the Louder Than Life 2017 with David from Dead.
What up?
How are you doing, man?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. You enjoying this beautiful day out here, dude?
Your guys' weather is gorgeous.
Well,
a lot of these festivals this summer have like rained out.
Sorry, Randy.
Yo, what up?
Eddie Trunk, man. We're just hanging out.
Dude! See, I told
you guys.
Love you guys. For Eddie Trunk. It's always.
You stood side stage for our set.
Yo, cool. What's up, brother?
Yo. How are you?
Yeah. What's up? Hi. What's going on? What's going on? My name is Joe. I'm from Dead. I'm the singer.
Nice.
What up?
Nice.
All right, yo.
Name?
My name is Kyle, and I play bass in Dead.
Hi, I'm Matt. I play drums in Dead.
Well, we got all of Dead.
We are all dead.
We are all dead.
Sorry, Eddie Trunk's fault.
Eddie Trunk.
Okay. Blame Eddie.
Damn you, Eddie Trunk. We're supposed to actually talk to him in a little bit. You know, one of the classics.
Tell him we said what up.
We will definitely do that. Kind of the running theme today, a lot of you guys, is the revival of nu metal, and I'm pretty excited about it. You know, what's kind of brought you guys down this path?
I think it was just a conversation. We were at Starbucks having coffee, and we were talking about, like, it got brought up, like, why don't bands sound like, you know, what we want them to sound like?
Yeah. I guess
that the early Slipknot, the early Korn, Manson, all that kind of stuff, and we were like, why don't we try to make something brutal? And we started studying, you know, Iowa and things like that, and we wanted to just make like a band that we like to hear, and we wanted to just play at dive bars, and we weren't really planning on doing any of this.
Yeah,
but it's awesome. So
mainly the bounce. I think it gets lumped into nu metal, but it's not necessarily supposed to be nu metal. It's just a bounce. I didn't want tech metal like the thing. I want it to be like, you know, like something that everyone can rock their head to. So even if they don't know the words, they're bobbing their head.
Yes,
that's, to me, that's winning over a fan right there.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are being embraced by like the nu metal era guys too.
Yes.
So you guys are just did some shows with Korn recently.
Yep.
You know, things like that. How did that connection come out?
Over an email. Our manager knows some of those guys, but it was basically came down to, hey, these guys are, you know, they're not in the business of just, you know, you can't buy them, and they don't have to do a favor for anyone. We're gonna send them your music. If they like it, they'll work with you guys, and if they don't, they won't. And they liked it, and when we saw the response back from like Jonathan Davis and like the other guys in Korn being like, yo, this is really good, like we want to have these guys out, that was probably one of the most satisfying feelings.
So how long ago was that conversation in Starbucks? Because I don't feel like it's been that long ago.
About three and a half years ago.
That's a quick trajectory in the music business, you know.
Yeah,
we've been in other bands before. Yeah. You know, we've toured and done our thing before.
You're the one that I'm supposed to powerbomb from Brandon Kellum told me to powerbomb.
Over Kellum, I know that name.
American Standards.
Oh yeah. What's up, American Standards? What's up?
That's funny.
We played with them.
I played shows with them for so, like, back in the day. I can't think of their old band name. Something about, like, movie script ending or something. Anyway, but yeah, Arizona. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He actually did a me and a few other podcasters did a track. We did Deftones Elite.
Okay.
And he sang on it. I played bass on it. And a couple other guys played
sick,
drums.
Dude, hell yeah.
So it was kind of like the world's first podcast cover band.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And we actually named it Podterra. So there you go.
Podterra. I like it.
Name of a podcast.
I was going to say, like, if I would have done that first, that would have been the name of my podcast.
Well, yeah, I was. Yeah, that would be definitely a great name for a podcast. All right, we've heard it here. The name of Talk To Me has now changed to Podterra. But so you guys also not only Korn, but I mean obviously Fred Durst has come into the fold here. How did that come about?
Again, kind of the same thing that David was saying. That the manager's like, yo, I'll send it out to them and see if they're interested. And he was. We got on the phone with him, and everything you know went together really well. We did Anti Everything. We did the first video with him, and it went so well that we're on board. Let's do the second video together. And he kind of. You know, we sent some photos back and forth to each other. We were out on tour, and he picked, like, this old abandoned zoo to do it at in Griffith Park in L.A. And it was just this creepy, cool vibe. Yeah. And it was awesome, man. He's dope. He's so rad.
So do you have conversations with him about being a front man at all? Like, because, in all honesty, Fred's one of the best front men out there.
He's so good at it, right?
He can manage a crowd. I, you know, love seeing him back in the day.
Yeah.
And even they played this festival, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and still just, you know, killed it. So
he really is. I don't know that we necessarily talked about it in particular, but I do feel like there was a lot of conversation that happened about life and about when we were doing the video, about being yourself and just being authentic and genuine. I think that's like this whole thing, and just being comfortable with who you are.
Yeah.
I feel like that was what he taught us. I agree with that. Yeah, he's like, if you're a tough guy, be a tough guy. If you're not, be this. You know, be whatever you are. You know, be natural. Do your thing.
I always felt I met Fred in like 97.
Okay.
And he had an air about him. You know, like the certain people have that weird air that you just know are going to be famous.
Yeah.
And that was like right when, I don't even know if $3 Bill Y'all was out yet, but you just kind of knew. Did he still kind of have that air about him when you were around him?
Like,
I think so, yeah. He's got this like, he's just got a swagger about like everything he does. You can tell everything's methodical. He doesn't just like make rational decisions really quickly. He's really... He thinks things through really well, and he has a vision for things, even down to the smallest detail. So you can just tell, like, being around him, like, yeah, you're Fred Durst. Like, there's a reason you're Fred Durst. Not just like, sometimes you meet famous people and you're like, you're famous? Really?
Really?
And then him, you're like, I get it.
Yeah, definitely. So when you guys see festivals like this come about, you guys get added to the bill. I mean, are you guys like checking out the other bands and going, holy fuck, we're playing with Ozzy today? You know, that's crazy.
Always.
100%. Like, I'm trying to see who else is on this. Like, Incubus plays tomorrow, I think, but Five Finger Death Punch, Gojira, I think is on this. Are they on this too? Yeah, okay, cool, yeah. No, yeah, like, yeah. Like,
oh, I
Through Fire, like, our stage is sick. Like, Through Fire, Fire from the Gods, He is Legend, Stone Sour's playing. So many good bands.
Sick package today. Chris Kale, Five Finger Death Punch, actually did want me to let you guys know that he loves your album.
Thank you. We've been trying to find him. Where is he at?
Say what up.
He's hard to not spot. You know, he's like 6'10" and those dreadlock beard. But yeah, he's running around here somewhere. But I posted about you guys on Facebook, and he mentioned, he's like, make sure to let him know I dig their band. So.
Yeah, I saw that actually yesterday. Oh, we just became friends on Facebook, actually. So.
He's been giving the band a lot of love, so shout out to him for sure.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, if he likes the band, he'll do what he can to help you out. I haven't heard that song in forever. So then the last piece of the new metal trilogy, I mean, Jordan Schur, when I saw that name, I was like, wow, that name looks really familiar, and I had to Google it, you know, with his involvement in Interscope back in the day, and then signing you guys to his label now. You know, how did you guys get in front of him?
Feldman. John Feldman. We actually were writing in the studio before we ever even, like, had a label.
Yeah.
And we were working with Feldy just for fun, honestly. Yeah. Like, John just kind of took a liking to the band, and we started working on a bunch of stuff at his studio, and then we showed up for what we thought was just going to be, you know, writing some more songs, listen to a mix, and he was like, hey, we're setting you guys up live in my studio. I've never done this before, but we're going to record you guys live, and then we're going to bring in labels, and they're going to listen to you, and then we'll see which one we like. And I was like,
okay,
that's not intimidating at all.
Yeah, no, it was a super out of our comfort zone experience, but it was awesome. We were ready to jump through the hoops and go for it. Yeah.
And then so Jordan was one of the people that we met, and he was hands down the one that stuck out the most because, one, his background, but also the way that he spoke to us was different. He's actually a really good friend. A lot of people, you know, they talk about their labels like, oh, it's the label and this. It's like really like, we just jump on the phone with Jordan all the time.
Right.
We don't have to deal with anybody. We don't talk to an intern. We talk to literally the head of our label at all times. It's really comforting, honestly.
Yes. Yeah, he's a pit bull. It's fucking dope. He's awesome.
Well, and then that actually opens up another question with, how did you guys get hooked up with John Feldman? Because I love his work with, you know, Story of the Year, The Used, all those great bands.
One of my buddies was actually going out there to work, like, for a day with John.
Yeah.
And I was producing his band at home, and we were working on some demos, and I was like, dude, like, you guys are going out to work with John for a day? Let's bring him, like, a copy of the EP. Let's ask him his input. Let's see if he's got any ideas.
Yeah.
And as we were there, we were meeting with him, and I started talking with him, and since I did the studio stuff, we'd already been working on Dead, like, for fun. And he was just, you know, we had some similar background stuff, like, people that we knew and stuff. And was just talking. He's like, what are you up to now? He's like, you doing any other bands besides this? And I was like, well, I have this passion project. And I played it for him. And within, he heard the song Architect. And within 30 seconds, he turned around over his shoulder and he's like, this is fucking great. You guys want to work? And I was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one dude that if he said, you know, let's work, I'm like, let's do it.
And he makes you work. He's not, it's not like, I think a lot of people think when you meet John, it's going to be an easy road. John puts you down a challenging road that has a really good outcome as long as you can rise to the occasion.
Right, right. So with, you know, you obviously you've been doing the shows with Korn and stuff like that. Are there other bands out there that you, you know, on the bucket list to tour with?
Yeah, we like, Deftones for sure.
Yeah.
Slipknot for sure. We play with Korn and Stone Sour Ready. Gojira we love. Run the Jewels for sure. LP, like, we want to do a song with LP hopefully from Run the Jewels, but all kinds of, like, we want to play, you know, we play with a handful of bands. We want to do more, like, we'd like to go on tour with Beartooth, a bunch of bands, man. Like, we love a lot of shit out there right now.
All right, and then what's the immediate future for you guys?
Touring a lot of shows. We're doing all the festivals. We're doing a bunch of headliner stuff. Rock Allegiance.
Tomorrow we're doing Sonic Boom.
WJJO. We're doing Ozfest. Or Not Fest on Ozfest. We're doing Shiprock coming up in January.
Wow.
Some new tours coming up we're going to announce soon. So just staying busy. The album came out 2 months ago, so we're just pushing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then the best way to find you guys, obviously online for anyone.
Yeah, DED, so it's Dead Official on Facebook. It's Dead Official on Instagram. And it's We Are Dead on Twitter.
All right, and we'll finish this out with a Dead song off of the new album, Misanthrope.
All right.
Is it Misanthrope or Misanthrope?
Misanthrope.
All right.
Yeah.
So off of Misanthrope, what do you guys want to play and maybe a little story behind it?
What was that?
What song do we want to play?
Yeah.
This is the first band I've been in where we actually can play the whole record.
Nice.
At any given time, we can throw in any song. I'd say a story behind a song that we like to play. There actually is a story behind Inside, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's heavy. It's kind of dark.
Yeah. We wrote a song called Dead to Me with Feldman.
Okay.
And that was our first song we wrote with him. And after watching him work with us, we kind of went home with a new mindset on how to attack songs. And we immediately wrote Inside right after Dead to Me with the principles of going into, like, you know, if we want to work on John's level, let's make a song that John's going to like. And we went back to him. He was like, dude, this is the shit. Can go on the record. Like, pretty much as is. We didn't even really change it.
All right.
So,
well, we'll play it, man. Thank you guys for taking the time today, and enjoy your time here in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's gorgeous out here.
Satisfaction of pain, metaphorical tidal wave washing everything. I just wanna be the same, shut up my fucking brain. If I can help it, they pouring over everything. I'm not complaining, I don't need help, I don't need pity. I just don't have the luxury of denial in me. Yeah, I got my friends, so take a walk. If you don't like it, then kick some rocks and tear me up. I'm dead inside, I'm dead inside, I'm dead inside, I'm dead inside.